And you're back with Annie on Solidarity Breakfast on 3CR. And we've got Tricia McLaughlin on the line. She's the president of the RMIT NTU branch. G'day, Tricia. How are you?
Good, thanks, Annie.
You're all revved up for a major action next week.
Yeah, so thousands of RMIT staff, NTU members, will walk off the job Monday lunchtime and remain off the job for the entire week up until the Easter Friday holiday. RMIT staff are fed up. It has been 3 years since the expiry of our major university agreement and 2.5 years since the expiry of our teachers' agreement. That's 1,000 days of staff going without negotiated pay increases and working to conditions that were set in 2017. The reality is that since then we've had COVID, we've had massive redundancies and layoffs, we've had when we were released from the pandemic, we found ourselves with overwork, additional duties to be performed, and no new hires due to the financial state of the university. RMIT staff have carried RMIT through the pandemic and post-pandemic years. When we had no money, our staff came onto campus, looked after students, took every care possible. And reality is that we have not been rewarded with any change in working conditions, any change in security of employment, or any change in our wages. We're fed up.
I was just going to say, salt in the wound, no secure work.
No secure work. We have something like 3,000 casual or sessional workers, a workforce of 9,000. That means that if you come to RMIT on any given day, the people teaching you, working with you, researching with you are more than likely to be in insecure work. They too, after a semester or a year, will be looking for a job. So as much as you come to earn qualifications to get a job, the people teaching you don't have real jobs. We're worse than gig workers.
That's pretty outrageous. You say that it's been 3 years that they've refused to actually do proper EBA negotiations. How can they get away with that?
Under the previous laws, companies had to initiate enterprise bargaining. RMIT Vice Chancellor consistently put it off with all sorts of reasons. The agreement's expired, but, you know, we're getting a new Vice Chancellor. Then when the new Vice Chancellor came over two and a half years ago, he said, I'm new, I have to get the feel of the place. Then they said we had to wait nearly a year for a thing called a forward-thinking strategy with impact. Meanwhile, staff, their cost of living increases, the very things that they need, housing and food, were going up at an alarming rate. Inflation was running at 5, 6, 7%, and we were going nowhere. So basically got away with it under previous laws. And then when they were forced to come to the table 10 months ago, all that's happened is a stalling attempt to actually put off staff getting an increase. To this day, after 10 months of bargaining, RMIT staff have not been made a pay offer. So in spite of meeting twice a month, RMIT have still failed to come up with a pay increase for their staff. And we were told by the Chief People Officer less than 2 weeks ago, well, you're just going to have to wait till after Easter 2024. I mean, it's just not on. Staff can't tell the bank or the supermarket to wait till after Easter when we can put food on the table or pay our rent or mortgage. So saying things like after Easter are worse than salt in the wound. It shows a complete disinterest in the workforce. It shows a corporate mentality by the senior leaders of this university that, you know, staff can draw on their bank reserves to pay their mortgage, their rent and their supermarket bills.
So it's 3 years. What's the profit margin for RMIT?
Absolutely massive. As I said, staff were prepared to put up with this for during COVID. During COVID, many listeners wouldn't realise that our staff had to go onto campus in certain areas to train the emergency workers. Our nursing staff went onto campus during COVID and still conducted classes. Our trade staff, our electrical staff, our plumbing staff, staff who really put their own health on the line, went to RMIT, conducted their classes so that these emergency services could work throughout. As those students graduated, of course we know that the international student market disappeared, the profit margin disappeared. But post-pandemic and post-changes to our immigration, we now find that the universities, RMIT, is overflowing with students. The profit margin is astronomical. And to tell us to wait till after Easter, when we have taught for the last 3 years, is just outrageous, and the university is moving towards making significant profits.
Now, this is not just happening at RMIT. NTU members at Melbourne last year took week-long action. It's right across the sector, this insecurity, this underpayment, workers in this field have given personal financial work to get to the level of being able to actually teach at a place like this. I mean, because it's and also RMIT is one of the places that was sprung with wage theft allegations.
Yep. So in addition to casualising our workforce over the past, decade, what has actually happened is the university corporate greedy leaders have decided to absolutely screw the poor old or clamp down on poor old casual workers and in many cases pay them a way lower rate than they're actually entitled to under the enterprise agreement. So wage theft is all about universities like RMIT underpaying people, mostly casuals and insecure workers, for a couple of reasons. One, it makes money. Two, so why not use this casualised workforce and beat them to death and make more money out of them? Three, what it actually does is casual workers, insecure workers, are reluctant to speak up and say things like, I didn't get my full pay, I didn't get what I'm entitled to under the enterprise agreement, because quite frankly, it is insecure work and they rely heavily on getting the same job next year when it becomes available. So you're preying on vulnerable people who frankly have no recourse. And if it wasn't for the NTU taking up the wage theft cases, reality is it would be one poor, insecure gig worker against a monolith like RMIT that has millions of dollars to spend on barristers and solicitors to fight it. Fact of the matter is, without the union, these insecure workers would have nowhere to turn.
90% of members voted to take the following three actions. Tell us about the three actions and the 90% support for the actions.
Reality is that you might find it hard to believe, but I'm quite conservative by nature. I am really reluctant to ask staff to go without wages for something as long as a week. And my original proposal was the same as last year, where we took a couple of two-day strikes, because going without money in your pay envelope doesn't just affect you. It's easy to stick your hand in the air, but when you have a family or children, yeah, or when you have other commitments, it's tough. So when we spoke to the members are that fed up, we're prepared to go without a week's wages to actually point out to RMIT how cruel and harsh they have been and how unfair this is. It's a reflection of the corporatisation of the senior management levels of university. Most of the senior management people at universities have never worked in the sector as a lecturer or a casual worker or a gig worker as the very people they are now employing. So it is unfair of them to be making decisions. So yes, members voted for it overwhelmingly. And as I said all along, I am conservative when it comes to spending workers' wages, but they were prepared to go without to make the point. And the student union has voted overwhelmingly to support us. They themselves will be on the picket lines with us. The student union has put out notices and stickers to all students saying, support your teachers.
So it starts on March the 25th, that's Monday?
Yep, Monday lunchtime. Staff will walk off the job. There's a number of assembly points and they will march through the city along Cardigan Street to Swanston Street and then around the perimeter of RMIT at Swanston Street up to Latrobe Street and then assemble outside a building called Building One, where the Vice-Chancellor has his office, and proceed to rally there. We'll be strongly supported by Trade Union Choir and a number of other unions, plus members from Melbourne University who are joining us in their lunchtime.
And there's a picket 8:30 to 11 a.m. on all days?
Yep. So Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday we are picketing. Of course, with such large buildings all over the city, we won't be picketing every building. We'll be targeting particular buildings. The reality is the picket is a statement for the rest of Melbourne. It's not really a statement for crossing the line because we believe that most staff, even non-members, support us at RMIT. They are fed up. Morale is at an all-time low. The Vice-Chancellor's engagement with staff rating is at significantly lower levels than would be acceptable in the corporate world. Reality is that the picket is a visual statement. Of course, it won't be a picket, as in we'll be able to secure the whole of RMIT. Something like 17% of the city buildings are RMIT. So we won't be able to picket everywhere, and that's not the point. The point is to make a visual statement, 8:30 to 10 every morning outside a building of RMIT.
And there's a strike fund.
Yes, excellent. Thanks, Annie. If we need, obviously not everyone will be able to strike for all sorts of reasons, but if you are striking, you have access to the NTU General Strike Fund. So we are well supported by the Division and National Office. As I said all along, staff don't want to go without wages. Those who are struggling do have access to the Strike Fund, and that's available, information available from the office.
Thanks very much for talking to us this morning, Tricia.
Thanks so much, Annie. It's great to be with you all, and I wish you all the best.